The Holy Gospel according to John in the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in a synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you also wish to go away? If Jesus would ask me that question, I hope I'd have a little more nerve than Peter did. Well, yes, Jesus. I do sometimes think about going away. Thanks for asking. When you talk about eating your flesh and drinking your blood and other strange and freaky things, yeah, I do think about going away. And not only that, when I see all the abuses that have happened within the church at the hands of people who claim to be closest to you, yeah, I think about going away. And not only that, when I have a Sunday off and do what I did last week, which was make brunch for my family on a Sunday morning, play Wordle and the spelling bee, drink 2 cups of coffee, which only really happens when the in-laws visit and can distract Teo. Yeah, Jesus, I think about going away. I think about joining the fastest growing spiritual group in America, the spiritual but not religious, where I could design my own faith with only the parts of the creeds that I know and endorse, which probably wouldn't include talking about eating your flesh or drinking your blood. I used to be afraid to admit just how often I've thought about going away until I realized that admitting that is proof that I'm actually listening to what Jesus is saying. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, love my enemies. Feed the hungry with whatever I have because you say it will always be enough. Give my life to a rabbi who sounds crazy and makes me look that way too. Try to live in a community with other people whose only credential for being there is that they can't quit that crazy rabbi either. Yeah, sometimes I think about going away. And if you haven't had thoughts of going away, I don't think you've been paying attention to what Jesus is saying. I don't necessarily mean going away from the church. I know there are many people who love the overtly religious parts of church, the beauty of the liturgy, the order of the rules, the safety of sanctuary. Some of us fall in love with religion early and we cling to it later in life. But Jesus isn't promoting religion. He's inviting us to abide in God and God to abide in us, and that's what he's saying here. He's not talking about religion per se. He's talking about breaking the chasm between heaven and earth, spiritual and material, sacred and secular, human and divine. And most of us struggle with that. We can't handle this incarnational God who meddles too deep in our business. Religion, that system of rules, doctrines, dogmas, behaviors, that can be handled, managed, rejected, or adopted by us. But God in the flesh who abides in us? That's too much for a lot of people. I'd say too much for normal people. Plenty complain, turn around, and leave, not just the crowds, according to John in our reading today, but Jesus' disciples, Jesus' closest followers, people like me. So having turned a lot of people away, Jesus now turns to the 12 closest to him and asks the question, "Do you also wish to go away?" When the world is on fire and the church can't bring healing because it's too timid to speak truth to power, or it's too compromised by its own sins, or it's too in love with its own history to be present to what God is doing right now, yeah, I think about going away. When there's a hunger in the nation for a world that is defined by something other than outrage or resentment, and the church doesn't seem to have bread that satisfies that need because we're just as divided or just as racist or just as shrill or just as partisan, yeah, I think about going away. When Jesus agitates me at precisely the moment when I'm getting comfortable or calls for my compassion just when my self-righteous anger is warming me up or calls out my own hypocrisy, yeah, I think about going away. Or when we get more agitated in the church by the length of our worship service or the color of our paraments than by the pain of the poor? Or we just don't behave well with others when we know better? Then yeah, I think about going away. Because just like in our text, it's the enfleshed parts of the faith that make it the hardest. It isn't the doctrines, not wrestling with those hard teachings as disembodied ideas. It's the people. The ones who have eaten the same bread and partaken of the same cup, but who do not, it seems, often see the same Lord I do behind the table. Those who embrace a Christian nationalism and do not see the idolatry and the heresy of such a belief. The white evangelicals to whom I want to rage, do you realize that the most consistent thing you've held in common over the last 50 years is not your beliefs or doctrines, it's your whiteness? Or the activist Christians who frustrate me by their readiness to be judged only by their activity and not by the actual outcomes of what they do? And even some of you who irritate me. You irritate me when you don't seem to do what I think you should do or think the way that I should think. And I'm pretty sure I irritate you too. It's the enfleshed parts of faith that make it hardest. And there's no way around that incarnational reality with Jesus. It's at the center of the gospel. The God who comes not as some abstract spirit, but as a human being who rips the band-aids off of our privileged complacency, tells us things we don't understand or don't want to understand, calls us away from what's comfortable and easy and safe, and disrupts everything. It's no wonder we think about going away. But maybe that's where Peter gives us something more and better than just commiseration. We know that Peter has considered leaving, and his response to Jesus is built on the assumption that he's considered that option. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. It's a confession of faith, a surrender to mystery. It's not that he hasn't thought about other options. Clearly he has. But because of what he has seen, because of what he has come to believe and to know, he's bound to stay. He'll stick with Jesus and all the difficulty that comes with him. Because the alternatives, as enticing as they are, don't bear the weight of the glory of God. Because religious rules or systems or practices, they're just not as interesting or as wily or as maddening or as transforming as this human divine Jew out of Galilee. It's the sacramental God whose bread and wine and water and words filter into your bones, splices into your DNA, changes your core. And maybe that's what Jesus is trying to say about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He gets in there so deep that you can't really decide whether his flesh and blood self has turned into you or whether you've just become a little more like him. And the word grinds into your soul so deep that you can't be satisfied with an ethic of outrage or resentment that doesn't include compassion, forgiveness, and the possibility of reconciliation. You can't buy into our culture's central theological conviction that peace and prosperity come through purchasing. That God in the flesh rabbi gets in there so deep that each time you hear Jesus announcing abundant life, refusing to dodge suffering and death, pointing to the creative power of God for life, fear seems to fade away, and death doesn't seem all that relevant anymore. And where else can you go once you've had a taste of that kind of God? Once you've caught a glimpse of what's possible and not just what is? Once you know that Jesus is offering a kind of life that you're not going to find in humanist philosophies, once this rabbi has scratched an itch that the glossy catalogs or internet shopping can't touch, once this God has fed a hunger that the drugs and alcohol cannot satisfy, once this Lord has made it clear that the love-filled life that he's offered is eternal, it's sustained beyond what we can see or understand, where else can you go but to join your voice with others whose only credential for being here is that they can't quit that crazy rabbi either? I keep looking. It could be a vocational hazard. A story about the old bishop told the truth when it's said that he whispered into the ears of the newly ordained, "Remember, God doesn't trust you enough to be a layperson." But I've been around enough to know that there are plenty more than the clergy who think about giving up on Jesus' way. His closest followers always seem to, because it's hard to put up with this rabbi and the people he gathers around him. The teachings are hard. The call is persistent, even when you glimpse the justice that comes rolling down every now and then along the way. And I keep looking. And maybe I always will. But in the meantime, I keep taking his bread and his wine. I keep dipping my hand into those waters, the baptismal ones and Mother Superior, to remind myself of whose I am. I keep returning to his words about forgiveness and grace and hope and peace and generosity because I believe him, or at least I really want to. I keep giving him my prayers, calling on him in my need, thanking him for too many gifts that I don't deserve. I keep following him, or trying to, with courage that comes from some other place. What about you? Amen.